Hi, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, host of Wise Women on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have an interesting guest today. And she's going to share a lot about her life and about a challenge that I think is very interesting for everyone to know. Because, of course, when we're delivering the news here on Wise Women podcast, we are trying always to enrich and empower those listening so that they can make improvements or see insights that would be useful to them. And so, as all of you know, I have a boutique in Cottonwood, Arizona, and oftentimes I have the privilege of meeting some wonderful people in that process. Now, we've had great people on my show, world-renowned people like, you know, we've had Roshi Joan Halifax. We've had Jean Bolin, who we had a repeat on, and I'm going to have her on again because she was at an amazing conference that I do want people to know about. But what I think is equally important to us, besides the world-renowned people, I think there are wonderful, wise women who just happen to be someone that I meet by kismet or by accident. And I wanted to be able to bring that kind of guest into the picture so that we could enjoy wise women who may not be world renowned, but would offer something to those of us that would like to know. And so with that, I would like to introduce and welcome Michelle England. Hi, Michelle.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, we had a great time when you walked in, and we had a wonderful conversation with you and your husband and
boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Boyfriend.
Okay. All right, girl. So I asked you a little bit about your background before we get into the main reason why I felt it was so important for you to be on the show today. So you said that you were an adventurous. You've been a gorilla trekking with your father in Africa. So tell us about that, would you?
Well, I think when I really became adventurous is when I was in chemo in 2010. And I was laying on that couch and I thought, when I get off this couch, if I want to do something, I'm going to go do it. Whether I've got my husband to do it with me, my father is kind of the guy that always said, oh, you want to go do something? Let's go do it. No matter who that person would have been, a girlfriend, whatever, I was going to make it happen. And so someone had actually sent me a video called Gorillas in Camp, where they're in Uganda and these gorillas come down out of the hills and to the actual tents where the people are staying. And they kind of investigate this man and the babies are touching him, and it's so awesome. It's so human. It's so beautiful. I mean, I don't even have words for how that made me feel. And I said, you know what? I got to do that. So I called my dad. Dad, watch this video. He calls me right back. Why do I feel like we're going to Africa? Like 2 months later, we were on our way. And we went gorilla trekking and spent time with those big, huge silverback gorillas in Rwanda. And it was magical. And, you know, there were people that didn't want me to go. Maybe a better way to phrase it would be, were afraid for me to go. And I said, you know, you got a choice here. I can die like being mauled by a gorilla in Uganda or Rwanda. Your friends that don't even know me would be like, hey, you guys, guess what? I know this girl whose mom got killed in Rwanda by a gorilla. What girl is going to go, oh, hey, everybody, gather around. Listen to this. My friend's mom died slowly of cancer in a bed. Which one are you going to pick? I want to go down in flames, okay? I don't want to go down in flames, but I don't want to be afraid to live my life. And that's when I just decided, you know what, let's go. Then who wants to go ziplining? Who do you think stands up for that? My dad. I'll go ziplining with you. Who wants to ride their bike 100 miles? My dad. I mean, so I guess it's in me. It just took something to get it out of me.
Well, let's just step back for one moment, because I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but you mentioned you were laying there after having chemo. So let's talk about what happened.
You know what? I'm going to go back even farther.
Okay.
I'm going to go to quickly. I can remember my mother picking me up from elementary school, driving home from school, and I looked at her and I said, "Do you feel good every time you eat?" And she looked at me and said, "Yeah, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." I didn't want to be taken to the doctor to find out why I didn't feel good after I ate. And that is the very first time I can remember thinking, why do I not feel good every single day? And I think my mom does.
Wow.
Okay. So that's really the first kind of reflection that I had. Now we're going to go fast forward up to 1996. All of a sudden I'm covered in hives. Some days they're on my legs. Some day they're on my arms. Some day they're on my trunk. Some day they're hot and red to the touch. Some day they look like a mountain range. Some day they leave a bruise behind. Some day they almost bleed. And every MD that I went to, what do you think they said? Well, 89 or 85% of the time, we never know why you have hives. Well, you know what? I can't accept that, because I have everything else about my life is magical, except I'm covered in hives.
Wow.
So I used to go to the doctor, and I'm really sorry, and this is real, but I used to look at him and go, you know what? When you're at the movies, I'm itching. When you're holding your baby, I'm itching. When you wake up to pee in the middle of the night, I'm itching. So could you think of me? Could you think of me? And the only thing they can think of is to grab a prescription pad and throw you some steroids and give you a month of relief. That's all they can do.
Right.
That's all they want to do. I'm so sorry. Let me get
No, listen. But I mean, never be sorry for having the authentic emotion is the most.
And it affected my quality of life.
Of course it did.
Because I always had to pretend like I was great.
Oh.
Because I wasn't going to miss out on anything. I'm not a person who misses out on anything. Are you kidding me? If there's a party, let me come.
Wow.
Okay. So let me collect myself 1 second. Okay, there we go.
But that
conversation that I used to have with doctors, I mean, I used to think, why wouldn't somebody think of me? Like, why? Because I'm pretty miserable.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. Okay, that's their job. So I lived my life like that, and that was 1996. For some reason, in 2009, they vanished.
Wow.
No reason, no rhyme or reason. However, from 1996, I was continually gaining weight.
Wow.
I've been a competitive bodybuilder in my life. I've always worked out. I know how to lose weight. I know how to train. Couldn't lose weight. And I'm gaining and I'm gaining. And I'm like, wow, this is fun. So then in 2010, I've been hive free for a year. I think I'm out of the woods, but I'm still gaining weight and feeling nauseous after I eat. But I'll take that. The hives are gone. So then I get breast cancer, and I had a lump, a partial mastectomy, I guess they called it. And then 6 months of chemo every week, and then 6 weeks of radiation. And, you know, just to let you know, I went through that very, very well. In fact, I've got to give you the name of my doctor who wrote a book on the mind-body connection and attitude. And there's a chapter about me in there. So I'm going to have to forward you that information as well. But I just, why did I lose my train of thought? I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. You were talking about the fact that, you know, you had gained weight.
Oh, yes. So I was going in for radiation and my doctor said, okay, Michelle, radiation's going to make you tired. It's going to make you nauseous. And I said, oh, it's not going to do that to me. And he goes, really? And I said, no, I'm going to ride my bike here at least one day a week. And I'm not doing that. But thank you for letting me know, but I'm not doing that. And he said, wow. You know, with an attitude like that, you're absolutely right. And you know what? I did ride my bike. I rode my bike twice a week to radiation, wow, which was about 15 miles one way.
Wow.
So I believe there's a lot to that. A lot to, you know, about that, what you can do with your mind.
Totally.
So then I finish all my cancer treatment and about, I don't know, a year, X amount of time later goes by, my hives are back with a vengeance. Now, sometimes my lip swells and just like, it's insane. One time I look like I've been kicked right here. I look like somebody just took a boot, and because I had this huge bruise on me. And on my abdomen. And I even took that to the doctor and I said, I've got this picture in my phone. This is not a kick to my gut in case I, you know, anybody sees this when I'm dead. I mean, because it looked terrible. It looked terrible.
Wow.
So then it was 4 years ago this month. My daughter said, Mom, you are miserable with your hives. My life wasn't miserable. I was good at pretending, but I was miserable. I mean, when you see somebody talking to you and all they're doing is this, you know that they're paying attention half, whatever. So she says, I'm going to integrative nutrition school. And I said, really? Okay. I appreciate that. Let me know. And so the day before she started, she says, you know, Mom, I think you have something called mast cell. You don't have the enzyme to remove histamine from your body. So that's why you're continuing to gain weight, because you're puffing up, because all this histamine that you have had over the course of your entire life is still in your body, where everybody else has that little enzyme that takes it out. So every time I eat a tomato, every time it's hay fever season, anytime it's, you know, I eat, you know, just any food that's been refrigerated, that all has histamine in it.
Anything that's been refrigerated?
Meat that has been cooked and refrigerated, it contains histamine. Any meat that's been frozen. Now, listen, I'm not a doctor. I just kind of know the things that I've read about. I'm no expert. I am an expert on what works for me. Nobody else, but I know what helped me. I was 165 pounds. Mm-hmm. I went on a low histamine diet and I lost 60 pounds in 5 weeks. That's not fat.
I saw the photograph.
Yes,
excited me.
Yeah. That's not that. I was a size 10. I'm a 00. I can go to the little boys department and buy a size 14 now in a little boy department. You don't do that in 5 weeks when you only weigh that much. That's not fat. But now that I look at the pictures, I was just bloated. I was just inflamed. I was just fluid, I guess.
Well, see, this is what I felt was really a very critical point that was important for our listeners to hear, because there may be so many people that are in that same paradigm of condition and they don't even know it. Are there tests for this?
There is a test for mast cell. It is actually something where they do a bone marrow test. I have not done that test. I don't say to doctors that I have mast cell. I say, I eat as if I have mast cell and it works for me. That's
so
what
I tell. What's the full name, mast cell?
It's like mast cell syndrome or condition. If you put in mast cell, it'll come up, or also MAST cell will come up. So things that have histamine, and I think the very biggest thing for me is gluten. Gluten, dairy, berries. But that being said,
berries.
But certain berries, like I can only have blueberries, blackberries. The only fruits I really eat are peaches, watermelon, and apples. And kiwi. That's about it.
Peaches,
apples. I eat an apple a day. And you know what? You know why they say an apple a day keeps the doctor away is because apples help with inflammation in your body. And they knew that back then. They knew that that apple a day would help you. Because inflammation in your body is terrible.
Yeah.
That's like one of the worst things.
Yeah. Right. So what are some of the things when you said you went on the histamine, is it called antihistamine or histamine diet?
I put in low histamine diet. Like if I'm typing it in to look for things, but then I don't know if gluten really contains histamine, but as far as this mast cell thing, I think anybody can benefit from giving up gluten in this country. Because from what I understand, if I were to go to Italy, I could eat their gluten and not have an issue.
I've heard that.
Right. So I don't know. I haven't tried it. But I think with the way we process our food in this country and the way the flour is, you know, go one aisle over and get coconut flour instead of flour. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to taste any different. Just go for it. You know, gluten is very easy to give up now.
Yeah.
It, you know, I would say 5 years ago, probably not, but it is now.
Right. Right. Because there are more and more
options.
Gluten-free products, pasta, the breads. You know,
and
you
Mexican
have
food is very easy to eat gluten free too, so that's good.
Really?
Yeah, because the corn tortillas and the very easy to eat gluten free Mexican rice and beans. Yeah.
Okay, so now all dairy you're saying is
well. Now I have introduced things like. On the mast cell diet, it said you can have soft cheeses, cream cheeses, things like that, but no sour cream. I introduced sour cream. I'm able to eat it. I've introduced cheddar cheese. I'm able to eat it. So I went a solid 2 years with sticking to this. I'm only eating what's on this list without taking a bite of one other thing. And that's the willpower that I have because I don't want another hive. You know what? Eat a piece of cake and risk itching. Get out of here. I don't care. I keep your cake. I don't want it.
Right.
But if there's anything that I can tell you, I've got a very strong will. If I set my mind to something, I can do it. That's my brain.
But that's a characteristic that you can consider yourself very blessed in having because, you know, most people don't have that will. You know, I've lost wonderful people in my life with diabetes and, you know, things like that really require the kind of discipline in terms of how you manage your daily intake of food, your exercise, things like that. And they just can't pull that off and often died.
Right.
You know,
for me, food is fuel. It's not a lifestyle. It's fuel. I put it in my body just so I can get through the day. I don't worry about I don't worry about who's eating a candy bar, or who's eating a piece of cake. But, you know, paydays are gluten-free. You can have those. I mean, you know, I do well with the food that I find, you know, once you start reading labels.
Well, Yes.
So my daughter truly, truly saved me. Truly saved me. I can tell you that my brain, for lack of a better word, was starting to not hurt, but I couldn't even think straight. I felt like everything was just, and I was pissed all the time. And it was getting worse. And boy, it was like a light switch. You stop eating this list of things and you're going to feel like a superhero? Okay.
Oh,
I'm 58 years old. Give me a break.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And of course, that becomes the motivation if someone can have at least the discipline to do a protocol for a number of weeks. And when they can notice the difference, then that becomes a motivation to stick to it, right?
Right. Right.
You know,
because there's nothing you could do to get me to try a piece of food that is not good for me. There's no temptation. Because to me, it's like poison on the plate.
Well, yes. You know, and in many of my shows, I've often related the fact that, you know, it's crazy because the medical community, not entirely, but tends to put human beings in a box that we're all the same. And what I have learned, and certainly Gary Null has taught me greatly, you know, each of us has their own biosphere, our own biology internally is not the same as everyone. And, you know, the wise person really should, as you have, either by accident or by motivation, has had to discover what is my biochemistry internally? What are the things that, you know, cause me to feel good or feel bad? And, you know, I think another key thing is so often true is the fact that people that have addictions that start even as young as, you know, 12 or 13, they move toward alcohol or drugs to just feel better. Right. And that's their motivation. And it very well could be a biochemistry issue that it has not been addressed or even known, even like you started saying that when you were, 13 years old, you asked your mother questions that, you know, there was something different in the way you felt, but you didn't want people to know that, almost as if it was some sort of weakness that you had or something that had to be, you know,
rectified. Well, it should have been rectified. Probably that day, if I would have given up gluten, I probably would have felt fantastic. But, you know, 1975, who's telling you to give up gluten? Probably no one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
You know,
so Gary, go ahead.
Well, I want to let you know that the hives ended up going away, as I said, 4 years ago. Now, something new has started happening. And gosh, when did it start happening? For a long time, since a few years after chemo, I started throwing up in the morning. Who knows why? I don't know. So it became part of my routine. I get up, I throw up, and then 15, 20 minutes later, I feel better and I go about my day. And I just kind of do it and forget about it. Whatever. That it's done. It's over. I don't want to think about it. I have all this fun ahead of me. So I don't think I really clued into how often it was happening. And now, periodically, it was happening monthly. It's not happening as frequently anymore. I wake up in the morning, I'm throwing up, and I can't stop, and it'll last anywhere from 2 to 5 days. It's lasted as long as a week. It happened last Tuesday, which I was supposed to be here, and I apologize, but it happened last Tuesday. I can't. I'm freezing to the bone, freezing, laying in a bathroom with a blow dryer plugged in, with the blow dryer shooting under a towel so I can make a cocoon, and I'm freezing.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't figure it out. And it's debilitating. And the only reason why I say that is because my boyfriend and I, we want to take off. We have a camper, we have a tent, and we want to go do all these fun things. How do I know I'm not going to be in the middle of Colorado and whoops, I got to stop and throw up for 5 days? I went to the hospital. And they were like, oh, your blood's all kooky. Oh, okay, we'll give you some anti-nausea. Nobody like wants to find out why I am doing this. It's just, oh, we don't know. We don't know. And, you know, I can absolutely tolerate getting up every day, throwing up and being sick for 15 minutes or a half an hour. I can do that. But let me get over it. In 15 minutes or a half an hour. Don't let it last 7 days.
Wow.
Because I have things to do. I have things to plan. I have concerts to go to. I just went to a boy band concert on Saturday. I have things I have to do. I can't be slowed down. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you have a tremendous will and joy for life and a spirit that that wants to engage in every moment that is available to you to do and enjoy. And so, you know, that's an admirable characteristic for sure.
You know, I think that comes from my parenting. My dad would go build something. He'd be like, get over here, help me build it. Let's do it together. And what if I do it wrong? You can't do it wrong. And if something isn't the way it's exactly supposed to be, we'll fix it. I mean, he never told me that I could screw it up. He only told me I could fix it and make it better, you know, or I don't know. I'd be out with my mom and she'd talk to a stranger. It's okay to get to know people. It's okay. I mean, we laugh. We say my mom interviews people, but you know what? It's people are interesting. People are fascinating. And so I think I'm a really good mix of the two.
Wow.
You know? Wow. Yeah, you know, I think that just is nurture or nature, I don't know. But, you know, I think a lot of that just comes from my dad saying, get over here, you can't make a mistake.
Wow, yeah.
You know, and that's a good way to parent.
Oh, of course it is.
Because you learn.
Sure.
Instead of being timid and, oh my God, what if I wreck it?
I've got that t-shirt at my shop I should give you and give to your dad. I fix things and I know stuff.
That's my dad. My dad can fix anything and he knows everything. So,
yeah.
So I guess that's how I got that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I mean, I think that we know that personality characteristics are also in our DNA and the whole study of, you know, the DNA and how we can even begin to empower it in ways that we prefer. That junk DNA that they say is just junk is something that I think we're, some of us are on the precipice of activating in us. And Gary Null, of course, has done a number of anti-aging studies. I was part of a couple of them. And
you are proof. I mean, I saw you face to face and I was shocked. You're stunning. You glow. You can feel your energy. And that's all. I mean, you and I are not spring chickens. And, you know, you look fantastic and you put out such a great energy.
Thank you.
And whatever you're doing is 100% working for you. 100%. I feel like that's a whole area I need to get into, because now I have a lump in my other breast.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you're saying that, because if I could suggest, first of all, I'll give you, some phone numbers, and I'm going to send you the video that Gary had made and sent to me. And one of our people on PRN, who's been a longtime host here for many years, and she was really at death's door. And even though, she's known Gary for many, many years, people that have known Gary don't always follow his protocols for regeneration and for healing. And so Gary took her on and brought her to his home. And so she had lung cancer, she had diabetes, everything was just at a stage where, she just wasn't, the doctors gave her, I don't know.
She was shutting down.
Yeah, it was really the end stages for her life. And Gary put her on a very strict protocol, which included supplements, included ozone therapy, included, of course, a very strict diet, vegan diet. Juicing, of course, has tremendous effects. But I don't want to misquote, but I believe it was in 3 weeks that everything was turned around.
Wow.
Yeah. So I will forward to you after this podcast.
Very good.
So that you can see for yourself. And then I will send you contact information. Gary does a healing retreat about twice a year, usually. And I'm usually invited as part of his staff to go there and help whoever the participants are. And it's a wonderful educational way. And Gary, gives lectures 2, 3, 4 times, sometimes 6 times a day, because he takes everybody out. And of course, in your physical condition, this would be a piece of cake for you. Won countless. He often gives me the task of arranging and rearranging all of his trophies. He's at 79 years old, he's still winning marathon races.
Wow.
And of course, all of his books, and he's done over 100 documentaries with countless. He has probably 2,000, statues of various kinds. It's crazy. He's an overachiever, a magnificent example, and an inspiration to others, which is why he says he does it, to show people, I do this, but you can do this too. Right. I'm not that different from any of you, and you can do this too. And so, he has had the longest running radio show in the country, if not the world, on health and nutrition.
Wow.
And, and of course, a lot of the political scenarios that are dominating our consciousness these days. He brings on experts. He brings on people that mainstream media will not present. And, he has one story. At one of the retreats, a woman had come in. Her husband was actually Mandela's doctor, but her husband had passed away. And she had MS for 15 years. She was not able to even bend her legs for 8 years. She came in with a walker standing because she couldn't, she had to walk with stiff legs, and it took us 20 minutes just to lift each leg to get her across the room. With Gary's protocol and some various, we do engage some frequency machines and things of that nature, because, the medical community is, I would say, held hostage is maybe the word I want to use, to the money machine that is attached to the medical community. And I know that this is not a surprise to you.
Right.
And
right.
so they are not able, you know, they are locked in by their requirements that come in from the insurance company. And in order for them to keep their licenses, they have to do things according to what, you know, the money mongers have decided was to their benefit.
Was the correct protocol. And, correct. You know, I don't know this to be a fact because I don't work in a hospital. Excuse me. However, I have heard that when you need to be treated by a doctor, the doctor puts in, this is the symptom, this is the yada yada, and the computer spits out, this is the medication that you give, and it's dispensed and unlocked somehow that way. So the doctor isn't even given free will on what he wants to give you. He's got to give you whatever particular pharmaceutical rep came in and gave you the best deal for your amount of whatever, fill in the blank, watch TV, see them all. It's bananas.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. More and more. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you this, and this is a little bit off topic, but I worked for an insurance company. I'm not going to say who. And I was in administration, and we did this whole thing one day, a mapping thing to show us how everybody gets paid. And there was this little village, and we were all at tables and yada, yada. And I'm looking around. I'm thinking, don't drink the Kool-Aid around here because there is something going on. And I learned, and this is in the early 90s, that if you are a general dentist, say, and you're going to do a root canal, if you refer a root canal out to an endodontist, they're going to take a certain amount out of your check. But if you are going to refer to that endodontist, they'll give you a bonus if you just keep it in-house. Don't refer it because the office, then they won't have to pay the specialist, but they'll pay you to practice below the standard of care and do a root canal that you would prefer to refer out, but you don't want to refer out because you don't want to be penalized. What?
Oh, what? Yeah.
And I was like, what? And I was sitting next to the dental director, and he's like, just sit down, Michelle. And I'm like, this is insane. You are paying doctors to practice below the standard of care and giving them a financial incentive. I've heard all I need to hear.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Because
and I worked there, and I couldn't believe I was hearing that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, do not drink the Kool-Aid around here. You will die. Yeah. You will die.
And that's the objective. We have become guinea pigs, and we have become simply, as Gary has often had these people on his show, the useless eaters that are just something where they can gain financial benefit from.
Right.
So, you know, I can also share with you, and I'm sure this is not news, but, you know, the whole COVID scenario, I ended up with, I'm so healthy. There's nothing wrong with me. But
yeah.
I had a kind of emotion. Yeah, I had a situation where I was kind of, devastated over some events in my life. And when that happens, your immune system kind of goes bad, or you on a spiritual level decide, you know what? I need an exit plan here. I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know? So I got pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was picked up by the ambulance, brought to the hospital, and they started, you know, doing tests and blah, blah, blah. Took an x-ray of my lungs. Now, I didn't know I had pneumonia at the time. I just knew I was not well and something had to be, you know, done. So first the doctors came in and, have you had a COVID test? No. Well, we want to do a COVID test. I said, no, because I know there's stuff on the COVID test things and I know already that they're not accurate in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay, well, have you had your vaccination? No, why not? I just don't want it.
Educated.
Yeah. And then after they did the x-rays, then they wanted to give me remdesivir. And I said, no. Now, the one doctor came in, spent a long time to tell me why I should take it. Then they finally, I had gone into the ER. Finally, they got a bed for me because there were not a lot of beds in the medical center. So then I'm in the bed, and then another doctor comes in, goes on about the fact that he has 5 degrees. He literally spent over a half hour doing his best to close me on using remdesivir. And he said, well, why not? I said, because I know it shuts down your organs. He said, well, I'm looking at your kidneys. Now, why would they even, well, I don't know, maybe they had to take an x-ray of my kidneys. I have no idea.
Yeah.
He said, your kidneys look fine. And I said, yeah, I want to keep them that way.
Exactly. That's why I'm not doing all this. Yeah.
So, I later found out, if they give you remdesivir, there's a 20% increase on your entire bill of your hospital stay.
Yeah.
So I didn't say that to him because I didn't know that
at the time. Yeah.
But now here I'd been there all day at 9:30 at night. They did not tell me I had pneumonia. At 9:30 at night, they released me from the hospital to go home to die.
Yeah.
Basically.
And that's what they want.
Yeah. Well, because that bed that I occupied, they wanted that bed to be worth the $100,000 that all these 7 points that they get paid for if somebody takes a test, if somebody is identified as COVID, if somebody takes remdesivir, if somebody does ventilator thing. And the very last item was, if the coroner makes sure that you're identified as having COVID. Now, I mean, this is insanity in our medical community. And this is what Gary Null exposes on a daily basis, with authorities and with researchers that are not being even to be able to be published now.
Mm-hmm.
So I love when I have a direct experience, like you related direct experience, because I have a lot of relatives who are doctors and nurses, and unfortunately, they're in that system and indoctrinated, and I can't help them. I can't blame them. They have been indoctrinated and enrolled into the narrative that they, in their profession, have been committed
programmed.
Programmed. And so what can I say? I do my best. And of course, reluctantly, because I know my family resents me for it. I know that.
Yeah.
And all the while, of course, what I'm trying to do is protect them, to keep them safe, to keep them alive, because we know. I mean, if I had taken remdesivir, I would not be here. I know that.
Yeah.
Believe me, I mean, they were very convincing. He went on and on about his 5 degrees and how good remdesivir was.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. But after I just wouldn't play their game, they kicked me out so they could put somebody else in that bed that would put the money where they wanted it.
Right.
So, this is sadly what has, happened to the world.
Right.
And there are many like Gary Null and many very brave physicians, brave scientists who have stood up and made it known that there are things that we really don't deserve to be at the effect of, and what we can do about it.
And these brave people are literally risking their lives.
Exactly.
And many of them have been killed.
Many of them have lost their licenses. Mm-hmm. Here in the Verde Valley, when some of the, the medical centers kicked out practitioners who would not do the shot, I was there with the mm-hmm. protesting, but it wasn't mm-hmm. enough. They still yeah. were locked out of their office and treated so poorly for their God-given right to choose. And yeah. one doctor in particular, she knew her own medical conditions that she had, and she knew if she had taken a vaccination, it would be a death sentence for her because right. of her existing conditions.
Exactly feel that way about myself. I feel like, there are a lot of people walking around that the vaccine has done no harm that we can physically see right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. No one does. However, I know there are a lot of athletes dropping dead for no reason. That's never happened
died before. Suddenly. Watch that movie. Died suddenly.
Tons of them. Mm-hmm. Tons of them. So, you know what? Anybody that looks at me and said, you should have had that shot, you don't know what's going on in my body.
Precisely.
I know what's going on in my body. And you don't even know what's going on in that vaccine that you invented in God knows where. Leave me alone, because I'm doing a balancing act on this body, and it's not working, and it's not good.
Correct.
And so it makes me angry, actually, that someone would even look at me and said, you should have gotten that shot. You know what?
Right.
You should mind your business, because you don't know what's going on in my body.
Right.
I can put food in my body and feel like I'm dying. Why would I put something that aggressive in my body if I would be the one that it would really, really harm?
Correct.
I would be the one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, Gary has exposed the fact, which is wonderful, because they rolled out those vaccinations so quickly, there was no standardization. So some of those vaccines really had very little negative things in them, thank God.
Right.
And I'm praying that, many of my friends and family who took those shots, that is what they would be, exposed to, not the negative things, but,
right,
and of course, we've had many direct experiences, friends and people that we know, that I can tell you, took the shot, 4 days later, dead on the floor, 5-year-old finds him on the floor, dead, his dad. I could go on and on about that, but.
But every one of those can be explained away by somebody, right?
Oh,
you know please. What? I'm sorry. You've got these numbers that are astronomical now. Athletes, give me a break.
Yeah, the statistics and the
so
increase,
many are happening in Europe.
Yeah. Oh, the statistics for myocarditis,
myocarditis is the biggie. They're all just dropping.
Correct. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, it's unheard of that they could, without any studies, efficacy studies, that they could put this onto the entire planet. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, and then, I have another friend who recently got sick and went to the ER, and they advertised free COVID shots. So, free COVID testing. And so she went there, and because she read it was a free COVID test, they did the COVID test, charged her $300 for a COVID test. Yeah. And this is a cleaning lady. She's just a cleaning lady, she doesn't make a lot of money. And so, unfortunately, there are still people getting COVID.
I've had it three times.
Oh, well, but people that got shots had it three and four and five times.
Exactly. And you know
gave
what?
It to other people.
I'll have it again. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, my body, I'm not a big pill taker. So I just feel like, you know, when I get a cold, I let my body just ride it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like my body knows what to do when it gets sick, but it doesn't know what to do when I put this crazy chemical in there.
Correct.
It's like, what is that? I know how to handle a runny nose, but what is that business you're putting in me? Because I don't know what that is. I mean, really?
Yeah. You know,
you don't realize how delicate our bodies are.
Oh, but I get irate when it comes to the children. You know, I mean, the attack on our children to just dominate their consciousness in so many nefarious ways, and to start giving 6-month-old babies and all of those masks. And the first thing I did with the masks, I went on OSHA, and I know we worked with them for a while. I went on OSHA, and it said right there, I don't know if they took it off, but early on, how dangerous it was to wear masks.
Dr. Fauci even said that.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
So, yeah.
Masks don't
dangerous.
Do anything. Don't wear, yeah.
Dangerous to wear masks. And first of all, we all know that mask is not going to protect you anyway.
That whole thing was about compliance and getting to see how much power they could have over the people. It had nothing to do with masks. It had everything to do with now let's tell them to wear masks. Look at, they're all doing it. Look at how powerful we are.
Yes, yes.
Now let's let them not go to church.
Correct.
Wow, look how powerful we are.
Separate us, separate us. Exactly, and put masks on so we all become like a non-entity. Mm-hmm. Everybody walking around with a mask on their face so that you are just, a nobody. You're all nobodies.
Yeah.
Because,
Crazy.
I mean, I remember when I went to China and I was staying at a hotel that was several high stories. And I looked down at the masses of people and they were all wearing gray. And, you know, I don't want to sound so prejudiced or I don't know what the word judgmental, but when I looked at people's faces, their faces were dull and unattractive. I didn't see any pretty people.
Well,
I saw all the
domination. There was no spark. There was no,
No.
There were no decisions.
When I went to buy things in a store, because everybody's told what their job is going to be, they could care less. They didn't want to sell me anything. They didn't want to tell me anything about anything that was in the store. They were so bored and they just hated being there.
Yeah.
Because that was the job they were told they had to do.
Yeah.
And so,
terrible.
You know, well, I mean, the globalists want to turn, and it's been a long time plan. I mean, they're brilliant.
Yeah, they are.
Seriously brilliant.
They're so good at it. Yeah.
It's really so sad. And they've accomplished so much. And it's for those of us who are deep thinkers, who have the gift of having people around us who can supply us with accurate, pertinent information. Well, then, you know, we were saved from, because I could have been programmed. I could have been indoctrinated, and I know that, you know. So, what to do?
I know it. If we could only just fix it all right now with the snap of our fingers, I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love that. But, you know, hopefully there are people that are listening to this podcast that are going to say, you know, I made the right decision not to get the vaccine, or maybe I got the vaccine. I'm not going to get this. I guess there's another booster coming out in September.
Oh, God. No.
But you know what? Maybe
the boosters are even worse.
I know. And so, you know what? Maybe people will say, you know, enough is enough. I'm going to get the booster. You know, I don't want to say damage is done. Not my business. You had your choice to do that. I've got mine. Everybody make their own decision and leave me alone.
I know.
So, you know.
I know.
But you know, the more
when you came in,
learn,
I mean, you're so fit, you're so muscular, you're so, you know, it's like when I looked at that and you showed me your picture of when you were
heavy, yeah,
heavy, I was like, oh my God,
doesn't even look like the same person.
Michelle has a story to tell, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and it had nothing to do with anybody with an MD after their name giving me any advice.
Right, you found your way
through food.
Yes.
Through food. Now, I'm not opposed to medicine. I have a situation they need to handle on this side. I'm going to handle it. I'm not.
Yes,
doing
you
chemo.
Are.
Yeah, and I'm not doing
yes,
chemo
you are.
Again. We can take
no.
it out.
Oh,
do what we need to
don't.
Do. But I'll make those decisions. I'm not anti-medicine, but I'm anti-medicine.
Yeah. So
I'm anti-medicine for some things.
Yeah. So Michelle, I'm going to send the video that Gary did of you know, his friend and talk show host. And I'm going to invite you to some possibilities that will help you. I so appreciate what you related today. You did a wonderful job on
Thank
Wise
you.
Women. And related the things that I think are really important and pertinent, so that we can, you know, share it with our listeners. So I'm going to thank you once again for being a guest on Wise
okay.
Women.
Thank
and
you.
And invite my listeners to listen to Kyle and Rodney with their podcast coming up right after mine, which is A Different Angle. And I would very much appreciate it if people would keep listening, stay in touch with us, and take in this information. Get in touch with me if you like. prsedona11@yahoo.com if you have comments or if you have suggestions for a guest on Wise Women. And with that said, I'm going to wish all of you a very wonderful week ahead. And thank you so much for listening. Kathleen Francis saying bye-bye.